Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. The title of the message tonight is Empowered. Empowered. Amen. Go with me to verse number 1. We're going to read down through the 10th verse. I want you to put the church there. I want you to put the church at large there. I want you to bring this up to the 21st century. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Father, we thank you tonight for the Spirit of the Lord that we sense already in this building. Thank you for the testimony of the saints. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of worship and of prayer. We pray, God, as we come into this essential, vital portion of the service, that you may speak to us and minister to us out of your word. Father, that every word would be clave unto, O God, that every word would be anointed by your presence, not only from the lips of the speaker, but unto those who would hear. We pray, Father, that you'd fashion these thoughts upon our mind. Challenge us in these altars, O God. Draw us into your holy presence with great desire. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you look back with me at verse 1, verse 2, the hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, caused me to pass round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. Now, who were these represented by these bones? We're told in verse number 11, then said he unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. This is who these bones represent. The saints, God is speaking now to this man of God. God chose to raise up a prophet, a voice, before he does anything. He brings this to the man of God. He positions him in such a place to see from God's perspective about that which God is about to do. Now, in this essence, we're dealing with Ezekiel, and we're dealing with Israel, and he's revealing to him what he is about to do in the midst of this nation. He said, I looked upon this valley, behold, a great valley full of bones, and they were very dry. Saints, God must always raise up a prophetic voice before he will do anything in this earth. He always raises up a man of God. Any time he lacks such a vessel through which to flow, then he will speak with a great challenge of rebuke. I looked for a man among them to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and found none. The saints, God must have a voice. He must raise up a prophetic word before he does anything in the earth. He raised up a Joseph. Why did he do such a thing? tempered that man in a lonely, dark place so that he may be a preserver of the nation of God's people. Moses, 40 years cast out from his people, 40 years in that desert. All of a sudden, God calls him by name. Why? To bring out the people of Israel. David, a man that fled from cave to heather bush, fleeing from his death sentence upon his life from Saul the king. But it was emboldening something in that man's soul. Why? Because God would make him the great psalmist and shepherd of Israel. We know that John the Baptist, it was said of him that he was hidden in the wilderness until the time of his appointed. Why? Because he would push back 400 years of spiritual darkness and stand in the midst of the Jordan River and call men and women unto the Son of the living God. He was a forerunner of Christ and saint of God. I'll tell you in this 21st century that God is about to do a thing, but before he does it, he will once again reveal it to his prophets. If you believe it, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He must have another voice for this hour. You and I must be that voice in this hour. If you go with me, verse number 3, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Look what he answered. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. The prophet was presented with something beyond the scope of his understanding. Saints, and I'll tell you, I believe that that is always the way of God. Always the way of God. It will require a specific vessel to deal with such elements. God asked this prophet. Now, Ezekiel, you've purveyed the scene. You look. This is a great valley. It's full of dead men's bones, and they're very dry. Obviously, they had been there for a great deal of time. They were very dry. These weren't just dead people. These were dry and scattered bones. There was no semblance of a man whatsoever, just parts and fragments and pieces. And then God poses the question to the man of God, can these bones live? Now the prophet answered. He answered simplistically. He answered honestly, oh Lord God, thou knowest. That prophet looked on. He didn't say with any personal self-confidence that God that I knows can that I know can do this. Oh no, this was beyond the scope even of his faith and of his understanding. He simply said back to God, because he was God, oh Lord God, thou knowest. Church, can I tell you, I do believe that has always been the way of God. He is about to do something. Therefore, he raises up a vessel and he asks the question of that vessel. When God asks a question, saints, he's never looking for an answer. Can somebody say amen? He's only waiting on our response. He got the response from the man of God. Oh Lord, thou knowest. It's beyond the scope of my understanding, but that is the way of God. It will take a specific vessel to be able to deal in these elements. There are many that would run out into that valley, begin to lay hands on, prophesy, but not this man. He was a vessel of God. There was a realistic knowing of God in his heart. This was beyond the scope of his understanding. So he lifted his thought back to the Father. Lord, only you know. And it takes a specific vessel to deal with things outside of its control. Can you believe it? Can you say amen? My God. And it's going to take such a vessel in our church. Go with me to verse number 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, this is the PowerPoint right here. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, will bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Saint of God, he must bring the word of God to these bones. He said, speak the word of the Lord over these bones. Speak the word. Prophesy, son of man. So he prophesied, began to preach the word over this valley of dry bones. Can you imagine what must have gone on inside this prophet's mind? He's prophesying and he's preaching over this vast valley of dry, dead, bleached bones. But as he prophesied, the Bible says that there was a noise, there was a shaking, and the bones began to come together. Saints, the loss of the word of God has caused the church to be dried up in the time in which we're living. We've lost the moisture of the presence of God. It's been so long since we've stood under that vibrant rain of the divine, that washing of the water of the word of Almighty God. We're in such a barren land where the word of the Lord is precious, even in our days, that the priests of God have fallen asleep in the sacred place, and the lamp of God has gone out in the holy of holies. Hear me, saints, and now we're scattered in our parts, scattered to the four winds of the earth with dryness and deadness and decay. What does God say? When I'm going to bring forth a deliverance, when I send revival back into my church, is the first thing that must go forth is the word of the Lord. If you believe it, can you shout it? Hallelujah to the Lamb. In the beginning of the creation of this life, what brought it all into existence in the first place was that God spoke and it came into existence. Saint of God, when God must speak again over its church before it will become what God's called it to be, can you say, oh my God, it must come again. I said, it must come again. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel did not confuse rattle for revival. Come on, church. I said Ezekiel did not confuse rattle for revival. He heard a noise and the bones came together and the sinew and the flesh came upon that body. He looked at them, but there was no breath in them. No breath. My God. Saints, any time God determines to do something, it always demands the empowering of the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, he gave the commandments, 10 commandments, not suggestions, they were commandments. He gave the covenant and the law unto Moses, but that's not all that he gave. He said, they're going to be a lampstand. He said, there's going to be an ointment. There'll be an oil of the apothecary. Let no man make the like unto it, that the lamps may burn always. Now, if you'll notice back even in the old covenant, that there was that Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, at one particular occasion, there were three things housed inside the Ark. The Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and an example of the manna that fell daily for the provision of the land. At another time, there were only the Ten Commandments in there. But saints, there was no semblance of the of the anointing. There was no semblance of oil. There was not a vessel of oil placed in there. There was no fire pan placed inside that ark. No, no. And church, can I take you bring us up to Christ himself? Christ was the word of God. But Christ himself being the word of God, it must be necessary that he be baptized of John and Jordan. But when he comes up out of that water, the Bible said John looked on him and saw the Holy Ghost in the form of the dove light upon the Son of the living God. Let's fast forward it. Another 3.5 years, it's in an upper room. The word of God is going back to sit at the right hand of the Father. They hold the word of God now inscribed upon their hearts. But he said, don't you move from the city of Jerusalem until you tarry in that upper room and endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Hear me, saints of God. They have a place called Golgotha. There is a historical place of where Christ was crucified on that tree, but we do not know where that upper room is. Come on, saints of God. Can I tell you tonight, we have houses of worship, but you ever put a container on the Holy Ghost and you've insulated yourself from a move of God? There is no semblance of those kind. We talk about the dove and the flame and the fire. Those are pictures in our mind, but you don't replicate replicate that. But what must empower the word is the anointing. If you believe it, can you shout amen? It demanded an anointed word in the Old Testament. Jesus himself was anointed, and he demanded it of his church as he demands us today. If you believe it, can you give him a praise in this house? Hallelujah. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as it commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. When I've looked it back at this in times, I thought, God, it should be that the word of God was enough to bring life into that army, but it was not. As he prophesied over that army, there was a noise, a rattling, bone coming to bone, flesh upon that body. They were on their feet, but there was no breath in them until the Spirit came. It ought to be that the word was enough, but as I was contemplating this message tonight, I realized that the word was enough. Hallelujah. That word of God inside God, that word of God is a spiritual word. God is a spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. When God sends forth his word, it has an anointed presence to it. Amen. When the word of God, if we follow the word of God, we realize there comes a time to fulfill all that God's desire. We must also be God's anointed. Hallelujah. It is not enough to receive. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's good. But he said, if you will be my witnesses, you've got to have my anointing. Therefore, that wind of the Holy Ghost must fill the house of God in the 21st century of the church. Saints, we can preach the word all day long. I've seen where the word of God is heralded as the greatest thing, the pulpit elevated above everything else in the church. I know that sounds right, and it is right. But if the pulpit is everything that it's supposed to be, then we also know there's got to be an upper room at Pentecost. Hallelujah. There's got to be an anointing to enable and to empower what the word of God promises. If you believe it, would you give him a praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Now, as God was speaking through this prophet, he's speaking in present tense. He is saying, you prophesy. And as you prophesy, I'm going to bring bone to bone, flesh upon that, raise you up, put breath in you. But as he only prophesied, those things did not happen. Everything came together, but no breath. He said, prophesy now to the wind. O wind, come from the four winds. Breathe upon these slain. As you did, breath came into that life. Saints, it had always been necessary that God's church be an empowered church. Not just a church that comes together. Not just a visible presence. Not just a body of believers. Not filled with theology and ideas and Christian worship and fellowship. But God's church is to be an empowered church. How do you empower an Old Testament facility? You do so by that flame of God's undying presence. That lamp never goes out. That oil is always fresh. There's no flies or debris in that oil. But that lamp is a pure lamp. It is a pure burning presence of God. That will ensue throughout the period of the Old Testament. The only thing preventing for that is one day when John comes out of the wilderness. Come on, church. Oh, my God. I see him whose shoe lasted. I'm not worthy to unloose. Behold, the Son of the living God. Jesus went down in that water. But as he came out, that dove of the Holy Ghost came and descended on that body. Oh, my God. We hear God the Father speaking in perfect triunity about God the Son upon rest the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now Jesus, in 3.5 years of earthly ministry, he dies on that cross. They lay him in a tomb. He resurrects on the third day as he says he was. He shows himself alive after his manner, after many infallible proofs. Many times seen above 400 people at one time. on the Mount of Ascension. He is there. He begins to rise in the presence of his disciples. Two angels look on him and say, why do you stand there gazing? The same Jesus you saw go away, he's coming back. But before he left, he told him, he said, you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. What he gave them at the cross ought to be enough. It was everything they needed, because in the power of that cross was also the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. The same Spirit that rested on him, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Hear me, saints of God. God's church, therefore, by necessity, must be an empowered church. If you believe it, can you say amen? Now, the truth is, you can bring this conservative Pentecostal ideology back into the life of the church. We can build place after place that represents this conservative Pentecostal belief all over this nation and around the globe. But saints, we will never raise up the power of God for this generation unless this church is emboldened and empowered by the breath of the Holy Ghost. It is not just enough to know the way. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Come on, saints of God. It empowers and enables the work of the Word of God. When God brings it together, it's not a rattle that he's looking for. It is a revival. Hallelujah. And the only thing that can constitute a revival is there's got to be the Spirit of anointing and of empowerment. If you believe it, would you give him a praise? Would you stand with me this evening all over this room? Can we lift our hearts and praise in this place? Hallelujah. 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 Ask my wife to come to the piano. Now, saints, I want to tell you again where we are. There is a vast picture of where the church is today, but I want to tell you where we are in the area of you and I that's personal to you and I. We're in a spiritual aside. Well, I've watched, and you have, the church go far left. Many of the things we once concerned ourselves with and warned the people of, we have embraced fully. We have moved far left. For there, many times you must search far and wide to find what mirrors the thought of a spiritual heart. You go into a church and there are many things that we naturally listen for, but what's most ultimately important is, does the Holy Ghost inside that believer, does that reflect and does it translate what's going on inside that church? Is there a reflection of that same embodied nature of Christ? And we've all left. We know what it is to walk out and think, oh God, there's no rest for my spirit here. I cannot find. You're going down the road and you're listening to a gospel song, but there's still no rest for that spirit because there's no spiritual registry inside the life of that singer. You don't hear it in the singer. Sometimes you don't hear it in the song. Sometimes you hear it in neither. And there's no spiritual rest inside that. You just listen oftentimes. You're listening to the Word of God as it goes forth, but there's no spiritual rest, saints. We've come to a place where the church has moved far left in its ability to minister to the need that is in the world. We're left at present, this very hour in which we're living in, we're left in this present condition, the church, in a woefully weakened, anemic condition. It is weakened. The enemy has come by and kicked dust in its face as it goes on about its agenda. We're living in such an hour. Now, God will only tolerate that for so long. There is a time appointed of the Father. He's watching the church. He's judging the church on one end. He's judging it for what it's become. He was rebuking it. He's allowing much of it to die, just to waste away. Saints, when children of Israel fell into out of reputation with God, they'd lost a place of obedience with God, would not go on into his will, then he turned them back into the wilderness for 40 years. The shoes they wore didn't even wear out, but they died 40 years just dried up and died in the wilderness outside the will of God. But in the midst of that, now there is a spirit, there isn't a spiritual aside. There is a place that if you were to look on the map, you could see the dotted profile of the landscape, all of the cities. And there, you get a dot on there and they place you there if you've got a post office. If there's a post office in that community, you get a dot or a square on that map where there's some place on the landscape where God finds a spiritual aside and he puts a dot out there for his own purpose. And it's there that God's purposing his work, because he's going to deal with that whole platform. Well, therefore, he must raise up a prophetic voice before he'll do anything on this earth. He will raise up that voice. He will anoint and empower that voice, because that element is going to deal with that landscape. And saints, God is preparing to do this again. Can somebody say amen? I said, God is preparing to do this again. I do believe that is one of the real reasons you and I have been called into existence. Because God has us at a spiritual aside where he is dealing with this dot on the map. That's all it is. Sometimes we don't even know why. Why would you come that far to that place? Because God's dealing with that. That is going to deal with this. Hallelujah. And he gives us, or sometimes, church, he puts you and I at a distance, because sometimes it demands distance to be able to see the overall picture. You've got to be able to be at a position to see the overall picture. You didn't get too close to a thing, you'll be drawn into it. There are times he must put us at a distance, say, I must work on you alone. Yeah, I must deal with this. Now, saints, that heart cries inside that. That's why you feel those pains, because you and I are, because of the creation of God, a part of that whole picture. I mean, we live and we move and we move about. We have mind thoughts and we're part of that. You cut them, they bleed. You cut us, we bleed. We're part of that. Well, God moves that which is a part of that outside to a spiritual aside, to a spiritual outside. And there he deals with that. Why? Because he's going to use that to deal with this. Amen. God must raise up a prophetic voice. He must have a vessel before he'll do anything on this earth. That vessel, saint of God, must be an empowered vessel. It is not enough to know the right way. It is not enough to maintain the pursuit of God. But this vessel must be an empowered vessel. It cannot just have a building and a name. It cannot maintain a theology. It must have an anointing upon it. Come on, church. It must have God's anointing upon that life. You believe that tonight? I'm going to ask you to lift your hands up all over this place. And saint of God, there's been testimony go out of this room that you and I, the call of God, called us here for a purpose. Because he wanted to do something in us. He wouldn't allow us to stay where we are. I'm going to push you out and make you more than what you were. Some of you here tonight dealt with things you've never dealt with before, but you're dealing with them now. Why is that? Because, saints, when God must raise up a vessel for a divine specific use, then he must move that vessel outside the scope of its understanding. He comes to Ezekiel and he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? What does Ezekiel say? Lord, I have no idea, only you know that. So will it come over your life. You'll be presented with your own valley of dry bones. And God will pose the question to you. You'll pose it yourself out of your own thoughts. Will I overcome this? Can I survive this? What good can come out? The questions go on. And then the conclusion comes to you. Oh Lord, thou knowest. What are you doing? You're placing all responsibility, hope, and the answer back in the God who asked it and who placed you where you are. Saints, there are times that life on this earth demands specific uses. The day of the general church is gone. That's gone. It's going to take the prophetic voice in this last hour. I was talking to a dear friend of mine, pastor of a church. I said, brother, I said, we've lost the word of prophecy in the church today. But God must return the prophetic word back to the voice of the church. That is not a foretelling, but it is a forthtelling. What is upon the mind of God. Saints, therefore, he sets you at a spiritual aside, because he's going to raise up a vessel for this hour to deal with this whole thing. Let us be that empowered voice. Is that your desire? Let us be that empowered hand. Oh, lift your hands and your heart with me across this room. Come on, saints, all over this building. God's in this house this evening. Oh, let's seek His face. Oh, let's seek Him tonight in this room. You have a divine privilege. You have a spiritual opportunity. Oh, my God.
Breathe on me.
Yesterday, Holy Ghost power.
It's today I'm in need.
Oh, my God. It's not enough to know the way. It's got to be empowered by God. I can't stand up simply because I own a uniform. Oh, no, there's got to be breath in me. There's got to be anointing in me. Oh, God, there's got to be the sound of the voice of God heard through me. Oh, hallelujah. My God, if you believe that tonight, church, and won't step out of the seat where you are and come stand across this place, would you? Lift both hands all over this building. My God, let's seek Him tonight, Lord. God, I represent a portion of this great army. But there's no power in the army without that breath of the Holy Ghost breathed on it. Therefore, I prophesy over this church. Come, four winds of the Holy Ghost, and breathe on this your people, O God. God, pour out your anointing in this hour. My God, we lift up the room. God, we lift up the door. My God, we raise the window that the wind of the Holy Ghost may fill the house of the Lord and His people.
Yesterday's gone. It's today I'm in. Holy Ghost power.
Oh, hallelujah.
Breathe on me.
Come on, church.
Holy Ghost,
pray for the breath of the Holy Ghost. Pray for the anointing tonight. Seek God for the wind of the Spirit of the Lord.
Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me. Oh, yes. Breathe on me.
Breathe on me, Lord.
Breathe on me, we know it. Holy Ghost power. Yesterday's gone. It's today I'm in need. So now, Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. So now, Holy Ghost power. We need Holy Ghost power. We've got to have Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. I need Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me. Yesterday's gone. It's today. So now, Holy Ghost power, breathe, oh yeah, flow through me, I need Holy Ghost power, flow through me. Yesterday's gone, it's today I'm in need, so now, Holy Ghost power, flow through me. Thank you. yesterday is gone. It's today I'm in need. So now, Holy Ghost power, breathe on. Oh, I need you to breathe on me. Breathe on me, I need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me, because yesterday is gone. It's today I'm in need. So now, Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Yes, breathe on. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty for the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm hungry.